Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad. And welcome, beloved, to our live broadcast here on Kingdom In Gathering Online Church. This is your host, Apostle Vanetta Hare. We are excited to be back with you this day to continue our series on 17 Wisdom Principles for Success in Life and Business. If you have maybe a question or a prayer request or a comment, you can reach us at our live call-in guest line at 1-347-945-6272. That's our live number for the next 30 minutes. We want you to be a part of our program. Also, beloved, help us by sharing. You know, sharing is caring. So share it with your friends, your family, your church members, your coworkers, your neighbors. Share on your platforms, your Facebook page, your Twitter page, your LinkedIn, and other social media platforms, because the information that we will share with you will be a word of encouragement, something to inspire, to empower you as we continue our series here on 17 Wisdom Principles for Success in Your Life and in Your Business. If you were with us last week, we shared with you on those 17 principles, and this is a part two on the principle of giving. That's right. You want to be successful? You want to be a giver. A giver in many different areas of your life. Your gifts, your talents, your financial resources, your time. And so as we study out the power of giving, the joy of giving, the peace of giving, the wonders of giving, that you will take on a mindset for being a giver versus a taker. And so, as we have shared with you in Scripture, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, that's our foundational scripture today. I want to read that for you and read it to you. But you can start and read verse 6 all the way to verse 9 or 10. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And 2 Corinthians, I meant to say 2 Corinthians, okay? 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 7. The word of the Lord for you today. And it says, each one give as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Let me go back, beloved, and just lay even a greater foundation. If you did not have the opportunity to listen in for last week, you can go back to our podcast that's available 24/7 and capture what was shared in chapter this first part. This is our biblical principle number 16. So next week we will close out this series on that we've been sharing with you, the 17 Wisdom Principles for Success in Your Life and Business. So verse 6, go above, and it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Key verse 7, so let everyone give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace, not some, all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, and he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread to food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding to many thanksgiving to God. Amen. That's the word of God for his people today. God loves a cheerful giver. So I ask you today, beloved, are you a cheerful giver or are you a taker? Let us look at what this passage of scripture is speaking to us this day. When we think about giving, what comes to mind? Now, see, giving does not refer simply to money. It's a process that involves money, but it also involves your work and the way in which you make contact with life. See, giving is basically an attitude with which you touch things. See, the word giving has become so completely identified with acts of philanthropy that it's difficult to think of the word without referring to the commercial of the church. The emphasis has been on what gift is to and what reward comes back in the form of heavenly grace. A name on the same glass window, a healthy deduction on your tax return? Is that what you think about in the level of giving? See, as we look at over the past 50-plus years, there's been a dramatic upheaval in the lifestyle of people in the Western world. And it's brought about by the influence of a number of what we call well-publicized revolutions that have taken place, from the women's empowerment movement that brought gains in terms of freedom at home and at work. We see the technology and the computers have invaded and changed our whole lives. Even our mindset and attitudes have become startlingly revolved. Various ethnic groups have moved up in the middle class, increasing number. But there's another revolution that has widespread impact, and it is the predominant attitude toward money and success and the acceptable methods of achievement. Think about it, beloved. How was your money attitude 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago? See, gradually there has evolved an emphasis on getting what you want, when you want it, at any cost. Or the me, myself, and I, my four no more. Some of the most widely read books in recent years have dealt with such topics and themes and subjects such as assertiveness and intimidation and it's okay to be greedy. You have to think about what has evolved in relationship to you having good success in your life. What biblical principles? The foundation, beloved. One writer has shared in the ways that no means or any means necessary, no matter how unscrupulous and how you achieve the success or generate and get the money. It's justified in working for achievement. Getting there is all that counts, whether or not the person earns the right to be there. Ideals like this have come to popularity among people who are lost and confused in the world of materialism. So when we think about the power of giving, the gift of giving, the peace of giving, the wonders of giving, people who have asked the question, what is life? And they've come up empty. They've concluded that life is a competition between people who have no alternatives other than to push aggressively out into the world and strive relentlessly to get the most for the least. Think about that. Is that one of your challenges? Is that one of your attitudes and thought process? Let me get where I can. I just want you to think about that, beloved. See, this mindset and attitude misses the very important point that life is not lived from outside in, but from inside out. Let me say that again. A successful life is not lived from outside in, but inside out. So the success that you're trying to achieve in life is already lies within you. The thing, unless we really understand this, well, we pray that you are still with us. We know we had a technical glitch in our program this day, but we do want to pick back up. Hopefully, we'll be able to complete our program that we wanted to share with you today. We're not quite sure when our system went down, but as we have been talking about the power of giving, the joy of giving, the peace of giving. And so as we have been looking at the mindset of being a giver or a taker, so when we think in looking at temporary trend toward materialism is a contributable in a large part to the sad neglect of the church in teaching the law of giving. Yes, there is a law in giving, just as we look at the principle of giving, the concept of giving, the precept of giving, the word of giving. See, when we look at religious institutions, they fail miserably with their own need to receive support. So preachers have talked of giving as returning to God a portion of one's income. Churchgoers have been lulled into a punished acceptance of this type of idealism. But, beloved, it is completely skirts the issue of inward-rooted giving as it deals with the anemic God of the sky who bargains for us for a giving return. Now, I don't know if that was recorded where I shared of our mindset toward giving, that our thoughts are set. That's where your giving starts, beloved. It starts in your mind, in your heart. Matthew 6:28 says, Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. See, by nature's law, the lilies grow and unfolds from a bud to a flower. And it's a discernible unfoldment from within outward. That's what I'm saying. It starts from the inward. That's the way we live, beloved. From inward, from the inside out. But many live from the outside in. And unless we really understand this, we miss the whole meaning of life. See, the purpose of life is not acquisition, but unfoldment, personal development, spiritual development. I wanted to go back and emphasize that when you really start capturing what the Word of God is saying regarding the power of giving, the gift of giving, the peace of giving, the joy of giving. See, there's no obligation for that flower to return a portion of its fragrance and color and form to nature. And there's no way it could do this even if it wanted to, because life is a forward-growing, unfolding experience. Don't miss the implication of this illustration. Your life, beloved, God's gift to you. What do you do with it? It's your gift to God. Let me say that again. Your life is God's gift to you, the greatest giver. What you do with it is your gift to God. Think about that. This little story about two men, and they were engaged in a conversation. And as the discussion grew increasingly heated, one of the men was heard to say, just tell me one thing. What's in it for me? It's an attitude that is all too common. What's in it for me? Not how can I give more to the job or the relationship, but how can I be sure that I get mine? That's that me, myself, and I. Or my four and no more. When you think, an article on the editorial page of the New York Times recently discussed the lack of any sense of old-fashioned work ethic among the new generation of people aged 20 to 30, moving into the job market. They call them the millennium. A HR personnel manager is quoted as referring to the new benefit bombs. That's not a nice name. But they went on to say that during an interview that these persons, hardly listened to the duty of the job being explained. They asked questions about salary, vacation, sick days, other benefits, perks. That's what they're shopping for. They're shopping for employers for benefits. And there's nothing wrong with that. To them, it seems to be the essence of employment. They're ready to take but not to give. Are you a giver or a taker? But it goes even further as they're watching the trends and the habits and the attitudes and the behaviors of the millennium that once hired, the syndrome continues. They are chronically late in the morning. They take the longest coffee breaks and lunch hours. They spend large segment of the day in time consuming conversations or social media. coming back now. And then they get ready for the 5 o'clock quitting time at 4:30. I know some of you can relate to this. It's not just the millennials or the 20 to 30-year-olds. It can fall in anyone because that's an attitude and that's a mindset. So we're seeing the personnel and HR managers say that their skills are low and their motivation even lower. They seem to suffer from strange mindsets and attitudes such as Monday affliction and Friday afternoon paralysis. They may be products of that spreading welfare psychosis that has afflicted countless of families in the past generation. They seem to say to the employer, pay me because I'm here, not for what I can do. So that, beloved, really is a string of indictment of contemporary generations. But perhaps it's overstated and more of a caricature of the actual situation. But believe me, however, anyone who has worked with people in a management or supervisory capacity will readily agree that there are two general types of people in life. And those two, beloved, the givers and the takers. The givers and the takers. That's in a workplace environment, in relationships, in business, in ministry, in every aspect of life. Here, just a word of caution. Please don't agree judgmental thinking. Right? Yes, I know many people who are takers, and they are not dealing with they or to help you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so, takers. The takers are the people who believe that their lives will always be the total of what they can get from the world. They're always thinking, get, get, get. They plan and they scheme ways to get what they want in money and love and happiness and all kinds of good. Matter that they may be applying these techniques, they still may very well be takers. But whatever may be their spiritual ideas or lack of, no matter what they take, they can never know peace or security or fulfillment. Those that have the mindset and the spirit are takers. Now, the giver, on the other hand, they're convinced that life is a giving process, and that's their subtle motivation, and all their ways is to give themselves away. There was a song, I think it's William McDowell. Basically, I give myself away that I can be of service. And so that's what the giver is. They're giving themselves away in love, in service, in all the many helpful ways that they can invest themselves. They're investing themselves, and they're always secure, for they intuitively know that their good flows within. Think about that, beloved. The power of giving. The power of giving. The joy of giving. The peace of giving. The love of giving. A powerful mindset that we must have. See, life for the whole person is a giving process. And we're not talking specifically about church giving or giving to charities or so forth. But there are many different ways and avenues and channels through which your giving can be funneled. We're talking about attitudes toward life, the basic awareness that life is a matter of developing and unfolding within. It's knowing that life is not something to get, but something to express. It's the fulfilling awareness that your business is always the express business, no matter what name your worldly vocation may bear. Life, for you and for me, is a given process. We know the Word of God said, give, and you shall receive. Are you in a cycle of giving, beloved? The Word of God, that He loves a cheerful giver. As we continue this series, looking at these 17 wisdom principles for success in life and business, to analyze your attitude toward your giving, toward your work. Do you go to work with a sense of eagerness in the morning? Is your work a happy experience? If not, you're probably tired toward the latter part of the day, exhausted when you arrive home in the evening. See, you may attribute exhaustion to the amount of work you do, but it's more likely the result of your resistance and resentment. See, you may feel unappreciated, underpaid, overworked, and it could be true. But your life is lived from within out. No matter what condition prevails in your workplace or environment, what happens in you is the result of your mindset. The difference is that he or she is treated differently, but he or she treats the work to be done differently. So I'm saying to you, thinking, give. And see, one of the most significant in the Bible is ways. And it comes to bind together the Lord, the all for you can do through you. Let me say that again. God can do no more for you than God can do through you. Action or procrastination. Wait on the Lord means to get yourself integrated in the mindset of the defined flow. It's so important before you undertake any project to wait on the Lord in a mindset of being prayerful, engaging, seeking, submitting the plans to God, and which you turn your thoughts inward and in the flow of the creative process. See, it's an important moment, those God moments, before you go to work or before you set out to find a new position or a new project. Just become very still and sensing the creative power of the Holy Spirit within you, guiding you and directing you, counseling, mentoring you, ordering and directing your footsteps, putting words in your mouth, helping you to do the things that need to be done and to do them easily and to do them well. The power of giving, the oneness of giving See, the first thing that will happen is that you will forget that there is a reward dangling before you for the work you do. You will no longer be working for money. Be paid accordingly, but it's added compensation doing the things you love to do. You'll have a strong urge to do all that you can to the best of your skill. That just being done when believers, when workers change their attitude about it, and no one is doing right by themselves or their employer if they simply rock along, going through the motions of doing their work. If you want to work for the kind of mindset that's going to maintain you in the giving flow, begin every day with the commitment, with the decree, with the confession. I will do what I do better and better and better, and I will do more and more of what I do. Just think, if you jump start your day with your mindset and your confession and your decree, that you begin to understand that this life principle for success in giving, you'll know that there is a wellspring of life and substance and power and skill and ability and gift and intelligence within you, and that yours is the privilege at any time of giving way to its flow. And this is going to lead you to one of the most important realizations that will ever come to you. If ever there's a lack of any kind, whether it's a need for employment or for financial resources or for money or for guidance or even for healing, something is blocking the flow. And the most effective remedy is give, G-I-V. That's right, beloved. If there's ever a lack or a need for money or guidance or even healing, something is blocking the flow, I challenge you, I charge you, be a giver. Give. You may be thinking, but I need, my hands are empty, I need someone to give to me. But you see, make a commitment to some kind of giving, not a bargain with God, but that is a kind of procrastination. You may say, okay, God, if you do so-and-so, then I'll try to do so-and-so. But you do it first. No, beloved. Rather, I'm saying to you, make a covenant with yourself. It could be an offering of thanks to a place from which you have been receiving spiritual help. You're being blessed by this ministry day in, week out. It could be a greater giving in your work, in your business, in your relationship. It could be doing something for another person who is in need. It could be simply giving away some seldom used possession. Something's got to give. It's so easy to get down in your spirit, in your mindset, from the desperate need to receive. You might even think, when I demonstrate the supply, I'll send a gift to the church. Why not give now? And if there's no money, go to your local church. Volunteer your time, your services. If you're unemployed, get into the giving flow by giving your services to some community activity, or offer to help some young person who may be struggling in a new business venture, or just stay home and keep your hands and mind involved in creative activity. Take some time to go through your closet, your attic, your drawers, to find all those seldom used or never used items that can bless someone richly and derive a great thrill and spiritual fulfillment by giving. There's never a time when you cannot find your good. See, Jesus clearly articulated the divine law in Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given to you. That's right. Beloved, I want to get the flow going. Get in the flow. See, this divine flow requires but one thing of you, your consent to be a receiving vessel. It's like the water faucet that must be open to the flow in order that the water may pour forth freely. And so Jesus was stressing the need to get into a giving mindset, a giving heart, a giving spirit, a giving attitude in order to sustain the flow of good into your life. He did not mean simply money giving. And often the religious mindset, books and teachers will talk out of a self-interest. And it says that the giving must go to the church only. But, beloved, it's bigger than that. The giving is a state of your mindset that may eventually spring up in many different ways. I think it's Ecclesiastes 11:1. Let me read that as we are coming to a close today here on Kingdom In Gathering Online Church. I pray that you are being blessed by this teaching, that you will go even more in depth in this word on the power of giving. Yes, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. I want to read a couple of verses starting at verse 1. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving. To 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. So, beloved, in your giving, here the writer is telling us, give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be upon the land. So have a spirit of giving. I want you, beloved, to make it as a declaration, an affirmation, a decree, a confession. The thing is to think, give. Say to yourself, I will give today. Say to yourself, I will think, give today. I will think, give every day of my life. See, the law is very clear. It promises, think, give, and you will get. It's a fundamental key to achieving abundance, wealth, riches, prosperity. See, a true giving mindset is the creative alternative to the current emphasis on winning through intimidation or succeeding through positive selfishness. Me, myself, and I, my four and no more. It is the better way. And a committed giver is an incurable, happy person, a secure person, a satisfied person, a prosperous person, for God loves a cheerful giver. So, beloved, when you discover the wonders of giving, you will wonder, how could you have lived so long in any other way? It's the key that makes you free. It's the truth. And that truth opens the door to the good you have been seeking, and that gives life, that adds flow, and it can be one of the greatest discoveries of your life. And when you become a committed giver, you can no more go back to the old way of living than you can go back to life in the prehistoric days. There's a new world awaiting you, a new life that will open up to you, a new experience of truth about the power of giving. Discover the oneness of giving. It's the better way. And the day will come when you will insist that it is the only way. Amen, amen, amen. The power of giving. One of our wisdom principles for success in life and in our business. I pray that you've been blessed and inspired and encouraged by this word today here on Kingdom In Gathering Online Church. We want you to become a partner of hope. Become that giver that I just talked about through our Facebook, PayPal.com account, through our secure email account, faithatworkmissions@gmail.com. Become a partner of hope and let God use you to be a blessing through this work and through this ministry. We look forward to you being back with us next week, again on the Kingdom In Gathering Online Church. May the peace of God, the love of God, the provision of God, the protection of God, the prosperity of God be upon you, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Go in peace. Have a blessed week.